right through it. So praying about the Lord's direction for where he wants us to go next. But Titus chapter number 3, we broke down the book as number 1. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we introduced it by a notable epistle to the local church. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, the naming of elders in the local church. And chapter 1, verses 10 to 16, the nature of error in the local church. And then in chapters 2 and 3, kind of the meat of the book, the need for excellence in the local church. And that repeated phrase over and over and over again, that of the necessity of good works in our life. And we saw in chapter number 2, personal excellence, and we saw behavior in the church and beliefs in the church last Sunday. Now we start on chapter number 3, and we're just going to, I believe, just verse 1 and 2 tonight, because there's some a lot of good things here that we just want to pause and look at, because it's very applicable for where we live today and kind of current events. And the more I study this book, the more I love the book, and just in its repeated emphasis of a Christian living a life of good works. James said it in this way, that your faith without works is dead. I mean, if you have a faith that is alive in your spirit, then it should produce good works. Your good works do not produce your faith, but your faith should produce good works. And especially living in a very wicked society, we as Christians, we should stand out as lights in this dark world. And there's great joy there. Now, they were going to face persecution without a doubt for some of the stands that they would have to take. But even in taking a stand as a Christian, we don't have to be combative. We don't have to be, obviously, not prideful and arrogant. And we shouldn't be going around picking for a fight. And Paul kind of emphasizes this in chapter number 3. Now, before we get into it, let's remind ourselves who he's speaking to. The Cretans. Now, these are saved Cretans. But they still lived in that culture. And they still would have dealt with their flesh. And we know that their flesh tendencies was to be lazy and lustful and very rebellious, lawless. They didn't like any authority in their life. And so Paul is, you know, totally changing this mindset. And as a believer, our life should be different. So look here in Titus chapter 3. Let's just read the first two verses, then we'll pray. It says, now he's continuing his thought. He's already been talking. He addresses some things in the church, the aged ladies, the young ladies, the aged men, the young men. He talked about servants and their masters and how to work appropriately as a Christian, all because we want to adorn the doctrine of Christ, which is God's grace. And we want to adorn that, and that should be evident in our life, and we should be a peculiar people. We should live a life of holiness. And then in verse 15 of chapter 2, he says, these things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And he's not done. He continues this thought in chapter 3. He says to Titus, to tell the believers, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And God, we just pause tonight and ask you, Lord, just to open your word to us tonight. And Lord, I know these are very practical, but yet the Holy Spirit has it in our Bible here because we need it. We need a reminder of these things. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you just do a great work. Put a hedge about us. May the Holy Spirit do his job freely as a teacher. And Lord, just may the word become real to us tonight. And we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, look at this with me real quick. We saw the need for excellence in the local church. We saw the personal excellence in chapter 2. And now in chapter number 3, some practical exercises. Some practical exercise, some things they're going to have to just put into action. And in verse 1 and 2, what we'll look at tonight is their behavior as subjects of the land. Their behavior as subjects of the land. And before we get into it, It's in the Bible because this is for us too. This is how we should live, all right, living in this land. This is the way our behavior should be focused and adapted to in accordance to the Word of God. And the very first thing we'll look at here in verse number 1 is this: we must be submissive. It says in verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. They were to be submissive. We are blessed to live in the United States of America. I don't just say that flippantly. We're extremely blessed. We're blessed to live in this land. We're blessed to have the freedoms that we have. And this scripture, it's not easy to apply in our lives, but it's easier for us living in this country, because this is the same Bible they have in China. It's the same Bible they have in Russia. It's the same Bible, are you following me? In Iran. There's a group of believers that met this Sunday in Iran somewhere that believe very closely to how we believe. They're hiding tonight, but they have these same scriptures. You say, well, Paul didn't mean that for them. That's an entirely different scenario. Know who he's writing to. They were under the control of Nero, who was by, you know, if you had top five worst world leaders, he's probably on the list. He would take Christians and impale them on a pole and light them on fire at night to be the street lamps in Rome. He found joy in feeding them to lions as a spectacle. He's the one that had Paul beheaded. It's that man and his government that Paul said, be subject to principalities and powers, and to obey magistrates. I'm not saying it's easy for us, but it's easier. We're blessed to live in this country. There's believers that this is difficult for them. And again, I'm not going to go down all the, you know, I think I can blanket statement this, because I think we that are here tonight understand this. The Bible teaches if there's ever a decision that whether you obey God or man, you obey God. I mean, that's clear in scriptures. But if at all possible, you should obey the laws of the land. There may be laws introduced in the next 15 years in this country that you don't like. But if it doesn't contradict the scriptures, you should obey it. I don't like saying as much as you don't like hearing it. I'm not saying if it contradicts scripture, if they say you cannot meet as believers, we're going to meet as believers. You know, if they say that, you know, you as a pastor have to marry two men, not a chance. I'll go to jail. I won't. Because I will obey God over man. But there may be some laws that, as Americans, well, that's what we've always had, but if it changes, if it doesn't contradict scripture, I know you hate that, and so do I, but that's what the Bible teaches. We as Christians should be model citizens. We as Christians should, and there are responsibilities that go with citizenship. And one thing that we as Christians should be is submissive to authority. You say, well, I don't really agree with that. Well, you're going to have to get over it. I mean, even in the fact, remember, that's the whole point of the teaching when the Lord said, if someone compels you to go a mile, go two. Remember that scripture? What's the context of that? It was a law at that time. Any Roman could pick any Jew and say, carry my stuff. And they had to carry it for a mile. That's just abuse. I mean, it's just taking advantage of your authority. And the Lord didn't say, that's wrong, don't do it. What did he say? Carry it 2 miles. Because it's all about bringing glory to God, and our life should point people to a great God. The Cretans like the what? I know. That's why Paul said to Titus here, let no man despise thee. There's going to be people that's not going to like what you have to say. Just like some of your looks are looking at me right now. All right, I get it. All right, I'm not happy about it, and I hope it doesn't happen. But I've seen enough change in my 44 and a half years that I can't imagine what's coming up in the next 15 years. And there may be laws that I don't agree with. I may think it's un-American. I may think it's not what we've been for 200 plus years. But if it doesn't contradict Scripture, the Bible says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates. Now, to the Cretans, this would have been very difficult because they were not law-abiding citizens. That wasn't their nature. To the Cretans, this would be quite difficult because the believers there were under the rule of Nero, who hated them, especially as a Christian. But the very same scripture applies to you and I today. No matter who the president is, no matter who our senator is, who the governor is, who the mayor is, who the policeman is, be submissive. That's why I tried to be very careful in the previous administration. There were many things I didn't agree with, but it's on record. Every sermon you want to listen to, I warned repeatedly, treat the office with respect. I didn't post things making fun of the previous president. I didn't, try to belittle him. I may not agree with things, and in this country, you're allowed to say respectfully what you disagree with. That's a right. Thank the Lord, that's fine. But be careful, because there's a fine line between taking a ride as an American and being rebellious. And while maybe in your heart, now I'm just being really practical tonight because that's what this passage is. That's why I only two verses, because I think it's going to take us a little bit. Be very careful, because I may understand that, but there may be 14-year-olds reading and hearing what you say that just pick on the rebellious attitude, which they're going to apply to their authorities. Paul simply said this, obey those magistrates. Now, there's a reason why he said that. Keep something right there. Look over real quick to the right there in 1 Peter chapter number 2. And I want you to see something here in 1 Peter, because Peter expresses kind of the same teaching, because this is something all the believers in the world at that time were facing. These same issues, which isn't it quite amazing, 2,000 years later, we're facing the same issues. That's why this book is incredible, all right? But here in 1 Peter chapter number 2, we're just going to skim this, but look in verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now notice here, he's going to give instructions here that you ought to live a life of good works, so that a lost world will see a difference in you. Verse 13, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, he had just said there's going to be some people who say that you're an evildoer when you're not. 2020, the same thing's going on today. There's people that look at us and say we're evildoers, and we're not. So what do you mean, evildoers? We believe abortion's wrong. We believe that sodomy's a sin. Now, I love everybody. I want to reach out to them. I do not hate a person. But sin is sin. In the same way, stealing is a sin. Adultery is a sin. We could go on and on and on and list all these sins. Sodomy is a sin. Abortion is a sin. The world says, whoa, that's a right. Or you're full of hate. No. There's just, the Bible is the absolute authority. So there's going to be some that are going to say, you're evil, you're full of hate. Well, you're not. You shouldn't be. You should be full of love. But for the stand that you take, some may say it. So how do you respond to that? By your good works. You obey, you submit, there in verse number 13. You submit, you obey in verse number 14. It's the will of God so that you can put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So they will, you know, cease having, yeah, I think you're evil. Actually, you're a pretty nice person, so I guess I'll drop it. That's the point. In verse number 16, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. That's why you don't write terrible things. But as the servants of God, honor the men that agree with you. It doesn't say that, does it? Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. The king at that time wasn't a nice man. Honor the king. So when it comes to government, we have a responsibility so that we can glorify God. We can point people to the Lord Jesus. We can put to silence false accusations against us. You be a model citizen. Everybody see that? He goes on in verse 18, talking about what Paul did for Titus in chapter 2. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle. If you have a really good boss, be a great employee, but also to the froward. If your boss is a jerk, you still be a great employee. Amen. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults, when you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. He says, hey, sometimes you may even suffer for doing right, but that's okay. You be a model. You be a great employee for the glory of God. In chapter number 3, he carries the theme right along. Likewise, you wives. Now, what's the likewise there? That word's interesting. Likewise. What's likewise mean? In the same way. Right? Well, what's it talking about? Even if you're under a evil king, do right. Even if your boss is mean towards you, do right. Because both those scenarios are about giving God the glory and people seeing a difference in you. Amen? Likewise, wives, that's why you're going to be in subjection to your own husbands. That's why you're going to do your best to be the wife that you ought to be. That's why you're going to adorn yourself in a way that points to godliness. That is why, you know, you're going to do your absolute best to glorify God as a wife. Verse number 7, our scripture memory verse for this month. Likewise, what's the likewise pointing to? In the same way as in the government, it's the same way as with a boss, in the same way as the wife to a husband. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them according to knowledge. Even if that wife is not being the best wife in the world at the moment, that's fine. You do right. Even if in your mind you think they don't deserve, well, it doesn't matter what you think, you do right. And you treat them with respect. You treat them with honor. You treat them with being an heir together of the grace of life. Finally, be all of one mind. All of us ought to treat each other in this way. Even if the other person in the church didn't treat you good, you still treat them right. Because people should see in us a difference. People should see our good works and how we handle every relationship in our life that it might bring glory to God. Now go back to Titus and let's look at this. All right. So we should, again, in this passage of scripture, Paul says to them and says to us, the Holy Spirit does, that we are to be subject to principalities, subject to powers, obey the magistrates. Why? So that the lost can be won. Why? So that God gets the glory through our life. Like I said, it's easier for us in the United States of America. we need to pray for our brothers and sisters that live in Iraq, in Iran, in Pakistan, in China, in Russia. We need to pray for them. If I give you a prayer request for this week, every day stop and pray for these believers that live in countries where this is difficult. It's not easy here, but it's easier. So we are to be submissive. Carrying on in verse number one, we need to be supported. There's some things that, again, I'm not saying that we need people to support us. We need to support our stand, obeying by some things. And here's what we support it by. Number one, in verse number one, this stand should be supported by our works. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. We as Christians should actively be involved in doing whatever we can to be the right kind of citizen. I'm just going to say it. You got to vote. There's people that have shed their blood and died so that you can have that freedom. It's your responsibility as an American citizen. Not just to vote, by the way, but to do some research on it. It's not difficult. If you need help, Brother Tyler will help you. He's good at that. I will help you. We will find you a sample ballot, print it out, and walk you through it. We can handle that. That's the easy thing to say. Here's where it gets down. I said I'm teaching on compassion in my Sunday school class, which is seeing a need, feeling that need, and then doing something about it. The very first time compassion is ever found in the Bible is in Exodus chapter number 2, whenever it was illegal, well, it was a law that all male children in Israel that were born there in Egypt were to be put to death. And remember, Moses' parents hit him as long as they could, then they put him in an ark of bulrushes and they put him in the Nile River. His sister followed along. And then, of course, by coincidence, right? No. God ordained. Pharaoh's daughter went down to the river, and while she was down there, she heard the crying. She saw the ark, and she went over there. When she saw the ark, she heard the weeping. She went and she opened up this ark, and the Bible says, and the first time the word's ever used, and had compassion on him. She saw it, she heard it, and she did something. And compassion is taking what God is giving you and trying to help other people that God places in your path. And the Bible says repeatedly to us as believers to have compassion one of another. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? The Bible doesn't say compassion here. We are not just to obey our government, but we as citizens should put our good works behind that. These good works should be the outcome of our salvation. In other words, ready? We should be helping the poor. We should be reaching out to the orphan. You say, well, the government does all that because the church quit. We should be doing things. Now you say, we can't start hospitals. I get it. Well, number one, you never know what God could do. I won't put God in a box, but I understand at this moment we're not going to build a hospital. But we might be able to help some clothes drive that's being collected for Milford. We might hear in the news that Milford Commons apartment caught on fire and go down there and take some shoes and some clothes. We've quit. We've quit doing these things. And so there's people that abuse it. Yeah. Just like we have with God's grace towards us. But aren't you thankful that God never quit reaching out to us? But the fact is this, that we ought to do our very best. The Bible, again, I said this morning, the Lord Jesus looked at the multitude. He had compassion, and he went and he healed their sick. So what can we do? Should we be like Christ in our life? Amen. Now, we can't heal the sick, I get it, but we can do. Let me look in Acts chapter 10 real quick. In Acts chapter number 10, we'll go right back to Titus there. Look at this, in Acts chapter number 10, and in verse number 34. Acts 10 and verse number 34. Peter's speaking here, and he's kind of going back over what all the Lord did in the scenario. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and begun from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." May it be said of Gazzato Baptist Temple and all of God's churches that we go about doing good. Our good works will follow us. Our good works, I'm getting ahead of myself in the message, but we always kind of look back at places like, you know, Crossroad or Elevation Church or Living Water or Vineyards and things like that. And we say, oh, the social gospel thing. They're handing out water on the street corners. They're doing food drives. They're sending food down to where the hurricane was. And, that poor people, they need to preach the gospel. And they do. But what they're doing is something we should be doing too. I'm thankful. This week, Milford contacted us. Can someone hop in a bus and come down here and bring people out? We will. Called Brother Slee. I was getting that ball rolling because I was up going to Middletown. If you don't know what I'm talking about, some apartment buildings caught on fire in Milford. They evacuated everyone out of the buildings, but they need to move them to a gymnasium because they were just outside. Red Cross was coming in to give them water and things like that, but they needed them to be transported. And they contacted us. And so I was almost to Middletown. I called Brother Slee. He was 10 minutes away. So, and then they called right back and said, Milford schools have worked it free. Don't need to do it. But they said this, but thank you. When we're in a pinch, you're going to be on the top of our list. And I said, great, call us. By the way, I'm just trying to tell you so that you don't get this attitude. The reason why Milford schools wouldn't send their schools and drivers, because their thing was, who's going to pay for the gas? Now, they got that worked out, because I'm sure the right person said, what? All right, and and I'm sure that worked out. But I only mention that to say this. God forbid anyone in this auditorium say, well, who's going to pay the $20 gas? God will. We're here to show these good works. I love separation. We preach separation. But we got to be careful that we don't put ourselves in a bubble when we quit reaching out to people. That we don't forget why God left us on this earth. To help people. So this stand, I obey government, and Paul said, teach it. That they obey every magistrate, but then also they're ready to every good work. That's why the Lord said, if they compel you to walk a mile, walk two. Do the good work. It should be followed by our good works. Number two, it should be supported by our words. In verse number two, to speak evil of no man. It should be supported by our words. Be careful what you say. In context. And I know that verse, we can easily get up here and say it, and it's absolute truth. Don't speak evil of men, right? That's That's a good statement to make. But in context, it's talking about your magistrates, your leaders, your kings. That's what he's taught. That's this subject. My mom taught grammar. I know what the subject is. That's the subject of this sentence. Where it's all pointing towards is this, that we should not speak evil of those principalities, powers, and magistrates. That's right. In this country, you do have the freedom to say things. But I said this in church the other day, and I hope you didn't take it too far, and I'm going to say it again, though. While the America says you have freedom of speech, you can say whatever you want to as a Christian, that's not necessarily what it is. There's some things as a Christian you just need to keep your mouth shut. Or if something needs to be said, you can say it correctly. For instance, I'll give you for instance. I watched the State of the Union address. And what Nancy Pelosi did behind the president was sad. Ripping that speech up in front of everyone, right? And the reason why everybody got so upset is because it was so, you know, rebellious. It was so arrogant. It was so, you know, whatever word you want to put there, all right? And for her holding the office and the position that she had, it was uncalled for. I'd agree with that. But I also would look at our church tonight and say, you're in a higher office. You're in a higher office. He has made you kings and priests. You're in a higher office. So while I disagree with what she did, I didn't post Nancy Pelosi as a jerk either. I'm not going to tell you what I thought in my heart, but I didn't post what might even go across my mind because I'm a Christian. There are some people running for office, a lot of people running for office in this next election, that I do not agree with a lot of their positions. And as an American, I can express that and I can vote accordingly. But I'm going to be very careful as a Christian not to come across as rebellious, not to come across as arrogant, not to come across as being hateful. Because the Bible says I'm to speak evil of no man. I don't have a problem getting up even behind a pulpit and telling you that socialism doesn't work. Just open your eyes and look across the world. It's got a 0% success rate, and it's not going to start now, all right? Doesn't work. And while I can say that in very good confidence, just because I've got, you know, 6,000 years of record behind me on that, but I can say that, but I'm not going to take a person. And while I can say to you I may disagree with a person, I'm not going to go on some tirade and call them an idiot, call them a jerk, or do my best to make them look bad. Or make little funny memes with them, with little hats on, making fun of them, or whatever the case may be. I'm a Christian. I'm going to go a little bit above that. I can tell you're loving this, but the Bible says to speak evil of no man. It's what it says. So I can say truth, but I don't have to tear people down. A good example of that is, look at this, in Acts chapter 23. Look back at this. You'll see this. In Acts chapter number 23. Paul's being judged here in Acts chapter number 23. Look at this real quick. In verse number 1, Acts 23 and verse number 1, says this, "And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest," so he's just looking basically at a jury and says the truth. And then in verse number 2, "the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth." So the high priest gave a command for someone to punch him. Verse 3, "Then Paul said unto him," to Ananias, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? Paul put him in his place. And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then Paul said, Whoa, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Paul put him in his place, and they said, How can you talk to the high priest that way? Paul didn't know that was the high priest. And Paul immediately said, I was wrong. Everybody see that? Because there was someone, a magistrate, someone in a position that he said, I was wrong for saying that. That's what it says. Amen? Some may need to go make a nice post on Sunday night and say, I've been talking bad about leaders in our country, and I'm just going to pray for them more instead. Cue cricket sounds, Brother Ben. Oh, yeah. It's what the Bible's teaching. Because let's face it, and President Trump has stirred this to make conservatives seem very angry, rebellious, sharp-tongued, and prideful. Which God doesn't want us to come across that way. Our works should profess God's grace. It should adorn God's grace. Amen? So this stand, this obedience, should be supported by our works, back in our text, by our words, and number three, by our ways. The rest of verse number 2 says to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. In what way should this be supported? Number 1, in our mildness. The Bible says there are no brawlers. That means we're not picking fights. Even this week, one of our church members posted something about just a fact, and I agreed with it. And I commented on it that, you know, I agreed with it. Here's the math. This doesn't work. And immediately a bunch of people jumped on that and started, like, wanting to get in a fight, you know, debate as much as you can. And say, what did you do? I erased my votes. It's not important. I'd rather that person not think, your pastor, man, he thinks he knows everything. Your pastor's a jerk. Your pastor wants to argue. I'd rather meet that person. I told my Sunday school class the other day, you know, you talk to people. This one person I was talking to just absolutely adores Bernie Sanders, adores socialism, not a church member, someone I met, right? And they were just going on, and they looked at me and said, what do you think? And I've been working with this person, trying to build a relationship with this person, and I said, I just know I'm praying for God's will to be done. You say, you're a compromiser. Okay. But I would rather keep the door open because I got a bigger prize I'm going after than switching her vote. I'm trying to get a relationship to point her to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can win that argument. I'm confident. I've taught history, economics. I stay up on current events. I can win that. But it's like my grandpa used to always say, you can fight a skunk and beat it, but is it worth it? So you choose your battles wisely. So be careful your mildness. Don't go looking for a fight. I'm not saying not to stand up for truth. I'm not saying to defend your castle. But what I am saying is be careful. As a citizen, a Christian citizen, by our mildness and by our manner. It says there in verse number 2, no brawlers, but gentle. Gentleness is a sign of spiritual wisdom. The book of James, just should be a few pages to the right. In James chapter 3, let me read this to you real quick. You can turn there. James chapter 3 and verse number 17 says this. But the wisdom, James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. When we have God's wisdom in our life, when we're living a life according to His wisdom, you're going to have gentleness in your life. It's a sign of spiritual wisdom. In other words, it's kind of where we get the term a gentleman. You do what's appropriate. You do what's right. You say, well, you know, they really hurt me. I get it. I mean, I don't want you to go searching, all right? Don't waste your time, all right? But, you know, there are websites that take bits of my sermons and just make fun of them big time, man. I mean, just, like, there's one certain website, when you go to it, I am the pinned video at the top. You're welcome for that, all right? It's a sermon I preached on modesty, and boy, there's like 800 comments underneath of it of how crazy I am. And you say, what'd you do? I blocked that website. They can't comment on my stuff, and I'm not addressing it. Because they don't care. I'm not pastoring them. I'm pastoring you. And I could get into some huge debate, which a lost world will watch and roll their eyes at Christianity. I'd rather just try to love and preach the truth. You see, what that person, what if they hurt you? What if they've hurt me? Just always, the part of being gentle is this. Catch this, and I'll wrap the sermon up. Being gentle is this, that even when someone hurts you, instead of retaliating, ask yourself this question. I wonder what they're going through. Maybe their home that they're living in is not as nice as you've got it. I mean, you know, some of these kids that come in on the bus and talk right back to the teacher, they need to learn. And you can't let them run things. But spend 5 minutes at their door and you'll learn a lot why they do what they do. When before you knock, all you can hear is language like you've never heard before. And then when the doors open, this puff of smoke comes out. You can't stand that close to the parent standing in front of you because what's on their breath will literally knock you over. And it kind of gives you a little bit more patience when the kid gets on the bus. And so I know someone may hurt us at times, but you don't know what they're going through either. Be gentle. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says with our leaders to pray for them. So when you feel like just, that leadership, be it from policemen to your local mayor, council, governor, senator, representative, president, before you comment, at least be able to say, I prayed for him. So maybe backed up by our words and our ways, our mildness, our manner, and lastly, our meekness. Verse number 2, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. There's two men in the Bible described as being meek, Moses and Jesus. I've heard many definitions of meekness. Probably my favorite one is strength under control. I didn't quite finish it. Strength under the control of love. I like that definition of meekness. I think it's Matthew Henry that defines meekness as the inwrought grace of the soul. It's a spiritual disposition that allows us to bow submissively to God and His will. If you're like me, I like things really simple. It's treating others with patience. Learn meekness. It means as a Christian, sometimes we think to ourselves, that's not right. they're wrong. But instead of spouting off, we pray. Instead of, you know, I don't remember her name. She was the Secretary of State under Bill Clinton. She was something. I forget her name. But she was in Indianapolis. True story. And a pastor started yelling at her at one of the meetings she was going to. An independent Baptist pastor. Do you remember that story? He started yelling at her, calling her all kinds of names. She's wicked, Jezebel, God's going to judge you. And I mean ripping into her. And, you know, he said, and people were telling him to be quiet. He said, I'm an American, I can say what I want to. And he kept on ripping into her. Then suddenly, he and his church were investigated for tax issues. And he was found guilty, and he spent quite a while. Few years in prison. None of it had to happen. He didn't follow the scripture. So I disagree with leadership. There's a way to handle it as an American. Call them and have a discussion. Write them and express with grace and meekness and gentleness your view on things. Build a relationship with them. Do it God's way. And it may come as a shocker, but God's way works. Be involved in your community. Let's do more. I gave my Sunday school class homework this week. And I told him, I was like, don't come back. If you come back next Sunday and sit at this table and not done your homework, we're all going to point at him and say you're a loser. Right? It's a punishment, right? But their homework this week is to look for someone that we as a class can show compassion towards. To find a need. To find someone hurting. In the church, outside the church. Find something. Look for it. Because Paul doesn't teach Titus to tell them, all right, all you Christians, get together and hide. It's quite the opposite. You be a model citizen. You watch what you say. You do what you're supposed to do. And you treat people, and may they see your good works. And may that glorify God. God didn't call us to be isolationists. Called us to be soul winners, which means we got to build relationships with people. So if we need to collect shoes, if we need to pass out some water, if we need to run our bus and pick up and move people, we should. It's easy to point our finger at these, you know, community churches and say, you know, they have no separation. They don't. They need, you know, gospel's not just handing out water. It's not. But it doesn't mean what the things they are doing is wrong. But we got to be careful that we don't build a wall around us and seclude ourselves from a lost and dying world. Paul didn't teach that. So be careful. The election's coming up. Commercials are coming. They're going to be every other commercial. Radio, TV, internet, you won't escape it. You're going to see the post going through, making fun of all the candidates that we as conservatives don't agree with. Be careful. Speak evil of no man. Have good works. Don't be a brawler. Be gentle, showing all meekness. This is the will of God. Let's pray, Father.